I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is now 6 o'clock. It's Tuesday, the 8th day of September. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Right now, downtown, it's 46 degrees.
Wind and rain causing lots of traffic problems. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Utah Firewatch on KSL News Radio.
200 homes have been evacuated near Mapleton because of a 1,000-acre wildfire.
We're trying to eliminate vegetation so that the fire will have a barrier. It won't have anything to burn through.
Utah Firewatch, our live team coverage of the Ether Hollow fire begins with KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson, live on the scene in Mapleton. Paul?
And Amanda, rain appears to have helped the fire crews battling this Ether Hollow fire overnight. Last night when I was here, you could see the orange glow from the flames and the smoke mixing together kind of lit up the sky. But right now, blackness is all you see if you look east to the mountains of Mapleton. The flames that were visible for miles all appear to be gone. But fire officials really weren't exactly sure how the weather was going to help them or hurt them last night. Utah Forestry Fire and Stateland spokesperson Kate Webb says the winds were so erratic they did have to evacuate over 200 homes.
Fire was human caused. Investigators determined that it was target shooting.
Webb says there were 15 homes in Mapleton that were evacuated, along with most of the homes in the Grindstone subdivision and both forks of Hobble Creek. Now, we are expecting an update about the fire in about an hour, and it's possible we could hear more information about the evacuation orders. Whether or not they'll be lifted, we might hear more, but we will let you know as soon as they tell us. Reporting live, Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Utah Firewatch, KSL News Radio's John Wojcik continues our live team coverage with more on the evacuations. John.
Yeah, Tim, with more than 1,000 acres burned near Mapleton and Springville, at least 211 homes have been forced to evacuate. J.J. Bush is a camp host at an area campground. He was one of the many who fled the area while having to leave some items behind.
Tables and chairs and my grill and that stuff, my booster for my cellular phone and all that.
Firefighters say the changing winds could be a concern in regards to where the flames will go, and that could impact any potential evacuations today. Officials say 500 homes were at one point threatened by the fire, and FEMA officials authorized the use of federal funds to help with the firefighting costs. Live, John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
Meanwhile, firefighters at the scene of the 2,000-acre William fire near Santaquin are worried that the gusty winds will ground helicopters. Incident spokesperson Jennifer Hansen says the helicopters have been a big help reaching some trees in the steep terrain.
Mostly burning and consuming gamble oak. Not as burning very intently because it's extremely dry.
She's also begging people to stay out of the area near Pole Creek Road. People nearby have already gotten in the way of fire vehicles.
At least one school in Davis County, Layton Christian Academy, is closed today because of those winds. KSL News Radio's Dan Bama says the county has a history of damage and trouble when downslope winds event occurs.
So far, Davis County Emergency Services reports no significant damage from this wind event, but they're expecting the wind speeds to pick up through the morning. Emergency Services Director Chad Monroe says every city in the county is working together to make sure they're ready.
They do have, for example, their public works departments on standby, police departments, fire departments, facilities.
Back in December 2011, Davis County was hit with winds up to 102 miles an hour that caused serious damage to homes and other buildings, as well as a few injuries. It also blew over trucks on I-15. Dan Bomas, KSL News Radio.
The wind is apparently behind tens of thousands of power outages in northern Utah this morning. Rocky Mountain Power has tallied about 33,000 of them, with the bulk of them in Weber, Davis, and Cache counties, with several hundred scattered outages reported in Salt Lake County.
Let's see what Grant Wayman can tell us about the weather today. The wind will get even heavier this morning.
Strong wind gusts. We've already been seeing some wind gusts around 40, 50 miles an hour in what we call the wind tunnel, and that's Davis County right there near where US 89 and I-15 split. That is where we're seeing some of the stronger canyon winds. But elsewhere, very strong winds have been picking up along the Wasatch Front. Hopefully a lot of folks have had some warning time to tie things down.
Highs will only be in the 60s the next 3 days.
The National Guard comes to the rescue just as flames arrive. KSL's top national stories this hour with Sean Michael Lyle live at the KSL National News Desk.
Amanda, over 200 people have been rescued, 50 more believed trapped by a fast-moving wildfire in the mountains east of Fresno, California. National Guard helicopters brave flames and smoke to snatch people from the shores of a reservoir. Firefighters now trying to find the other endangered people.
They're reconvening, rendezvousing at different locations, and we're discovering those locations as we speak.
At least one fatality is confirmed in the Creek Fire, which has burned over 135,000 acres. Congress is back from August recess today, facing an uphill climb for another round of stimulus funding. Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer is demanding big funding for his state.
The bill leader McConnell is putting on the floor of the Senate this week on COVID is a dagger to the heart of New York.
Republicans want a so-called skinny bill, well short of the Democrats' call for an additional $3 trillion in spending. And the Louisville Police Department in Kentucky has a new interim chief in the wake of the Breonna Taylor killing. And for the first time, the chief is an African-American woman. Yvette Gentry is a former deputy chief who is coming out of retirement after 6 years. Live at the KSL National News Desk, Sean Michael Lyle, KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.